that's when he was fighting. So Neshek, still we can hold on to what we said before. If you want to say that Nesher means nice, let's just be consistent. Why is the pasuk confusing us? I'm saying from Nesher until Erev. So if Nesher means Erev, so just be consistent. Beginning and end of the pasuk. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ela Marava, train Nesher have. Nesher can mean both. Nesher means a change of time. Neshef Laila, right to your mama. It could be Neshef Laila means the end of the night and comes the day. Neshef Mama, the end of the day, right to Laila. Neshef can mean either one. And we can either answer we're using, we're still satisfied, we're still upholding what we said before, that David Melech got up earlier in the beginning of the night. David Miavi Yada Pagad Laimad. Okay, so no matter which way you learn what David Melech did, Chatzos is an important part of his schedule. How do you know one was Chatzos, when it was the middle of night? Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu, Lavi Yada, who knows? Rashi Chumash said, Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, didn't know when it was Chatzos. Why? Because he says, doesn't he have Chatzos Laila? He says, when it's about midnight, that's when the Makas B'chor is again. And he also be talking about Mitzrayim. That's what he told Paro. So it simply sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't aware exactly when it was. So he just picked around that point so it'd be easy. Mike Chatzos, Ilei Medam Rolei Kosh Baruch Ki Chatzos. Wait a minute. What was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to say when it was Kichatzos? Is he trying to tell him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me it was Kichatzos? It was Rav Chatzos. Hashem knows. Mika Sveika Kamishmaya. Is it possible to say in front of heaven there's a Safek going on clear? Nah. El Adam Rolei Bichatzos. Hashem said Bichatzos. That's it. Anyway, that we're certain when Hashem said Chatzos, he meant Chatzos. It was a precise time. It wasn't a round number. It was precise. But you, Amr Kichatzos. Then Hashem told him, Chatzos, and Moshe said, Kichatzos, because Moshe wasn't sure when Chatzos would be. Amr was happy, like, but David have a yada. So how could that be? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, and David didn't know. How's that happen? So David Simon had a lay. We'll come back to Moshe Rabbeinu, but for now, we're saying, it's easy. David Melech knew because he had a certain specific symbol. And something that would indicate to him when it was night. Amr of Achab, Rabbiz, Amr of Shiva Chasidah, Kinar, Atolu, Lamal, Mirashito, Mitato, Shal David. There was a harp over the bed of David. There was a certain wind. The wind would change over different times of the night. And specifically at midnight, the northern wind would come and play the harp, and this way it would face in a certain direction. This way it would catch the wind of the northern wind. And the winds are in Chazal always definitely associated with spiritual things, physical things as well, but also with mazalos and the like. Safon is usually is often associated with danger and the like. But either way, that's when Safon, the real Safonis would open, would start at Chatzos. And that's when he knew that was definitely Chatzos. And that's when he would wake up. It would play on its own. And he'd wake up, Osik B'Torah, Atzal Lamod HaShachar. And it says he was Osik B'Torah. Previously we said that he was Osik and Shira Tishbachos. So it very, in my symbol, just as two opinions, exactly what David's schedule was. If you assume he got up earlier in the beginning of the night and he stayed up until Chatzos, and then he was learning in the beginning of the night, and then he was up throughout the whole night, so then yeah, he would daven afterwards. If you assume he only got up at Chatzos because the harp woke him up, so then he had to learn in that point. It could be daven somewhere in the middle of the night. Okay, but this is this version of what David Melech did. Now. And you could, it could be somewhere in between. It could be he learned in the beginning of the night, Torah Shabbat Peh. And then he learned, and then he did some tefillah. And then he did Torah Shabbat Peh at the end of the night. It could have been some combination of these factors. Kivin Sha'Allah Moda Shachar. At the end of the night, what happened? Nilam Su Chachma Yisrael Eitzlo. So what happened would be that the Chachamim, the elders would come to ask David HaMelech Eitzah. Amrulo Adonai HaMelech. Your people need parnasa. We need parnasa. We need money. What should we do? And that parnasu is why don't you do business? Go into business and everyone will make money. Amrulo ain't a kometz must be a dari. It's not like we're some people are rich and some people are poor, and you can have an economy and everything will work out. There is a lot of poor people. On average, there's not enough. Kometz is a small like fistful of grain or whatever. It's a small amount of food. A kometz is not going to fill up a lion. Basically, we're really hungry. We're like the lion that's really starving. And it's not going to satisfy us giving and just doing internal business. We don't have enough to support ourselves. The economy is too small, whatever. It's not going to work. In a borman malam michliyah, so you can't fill up a hole with its own dirt. If you inside a pit and trying to fill it up with the other dirt, with the same dirt, it's not going to work. Both Mishalim are probably saying different points, but basically, the Chacham are saying back to David, it doesn't work for us to do parnasa with each other. Amru Lahem, L'chu Pasha Yadecham Megidut. Great idea. Why don't you go to battle? And you'll fight some enemies, and you'll win some wars, and you'll plunder, take the money, and this way you'll do better. Now, probably there's more than just the pshat in terms of like what was the best economic financial policy. Probably there's also something spiritual going on here, that sometimes it does work to do business themselves, and sometimes they need to get others. Koach from other people, other places to help them out, and it could talk about like inspiration. We'll use these phrases later when someone else to daven for you. It's because sometimes you're davening for yourself. It's not enough to take yourself out of the situation, the tragedy, the difficulty you're in. Sometimes you need call from somewhere else. Anyway, that's just a very symbolic way to say it. But basically, that's the story that's going on over here. Presumably, it didn't happen every single day, but this is the etzah that David and Bach would give them. They should go to war. But if they go into war, they have to double check with the other powers, other authorities, make sure there's a good idea. Amr lahem, l'chu p'shti yidechem gedud. But miyad yotzim achitofel, they'd go to the right-hand advisor of David Melch, nimlachem b'tzanhedrin, v'shalom b'orim v'tum. Through other people they check with. They check with Sanhedrin, check that they're supposed to go to war. And also the Urim v'tumim, the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim v'tumim, check if this is a good idea with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to go to war. Amr v'yotzim b'akra, achrei achitofel b'neyo b'nyehoda, v'aviyatar v'sar sava l'melch yoav. Okay, they're the pasuk that after David were a bunch of other people that were in charge of authority, and those people give him advice. Who are these? Achitofel, Zayoitz, that's what he said. Well, Achitofel was the advisor. Ken Omer, Achitofel, Asher Yatz, B'yamim Ahim, Kesher Yishav, B'davar Elohim. When someone got advice, Achitofel was great. It was just like the person who would ask for Nevuah. He was a great advisor. Basically, he was, later in life, he also did betray David HaMelech. But that was Achitofel. B'nei ben Yehoyada, that's Sanhedrin. B'nei was he was also an army general, but he was also in charge of the Sanhedrin. And Tos has different gears about that line. And Aviatar Elu Urimutim. Aviatar was a Kohen, he wore the Urimutim. Ken Omer B'nei ben Yehoyada al crazy ben al Plesi. He was in charge of the crazy Plesi. So what's the Plesi? Crazy Plesi. Lamed Gershman crazy Plesi. Karti each according to Ram. So it's referring to the Sanhedrin according to our Girsa, and saying how incredible and beautiful the words are of the Sanhedrin. They're called crazy and plazy. That they decisively decide something, Kori, and plazy, they're mufla, they're amazing. According to other Girsa, it's referring back to the Urim Tumim, and you have to switch the Girsa, basically. But Yehoyada was relevant to the Urim Tumim. Fine. Anyway, that's things that Tosa brings up. Okay. Acher sar sava l'melch Yoav amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ada amar la Rav Yitzchak breeder of Edi my kra ura kvodi ura neva v'chkinor yar shachar. After they advised everybody else, then they went to Yoav, who was in charge of the army. He's the general, for sure, the general that was dominant, that they would ask and they would take care of things. Then, okay, next statement, Amr Yitzchak bar Ada, next statement, or it was made by Rav Yitzchak Breder of Ami, my Kra, what's the pasuk that indicates that David HaMelech got up at Chatzos? Ura Kvodi, Ura Hanevel V'Kinor, Ira Shachar. That my harp would wake me up, Ura Hanevel V'Kinor, Ira Shachar, wake me up before the morning in order to, so Ira Shachar, I will wake up the morning. Bring this brought in Shulchan Aruch. This pasuk, the idea is that you're supposed to get up before the morning or something like that. That you're supposed to not wait for things to happen around you. You should have your own energies to get up before the morning in order to daven to do the mitzvahs of the day. I think I made a mistake when I said before that Benayahu, according to us, was in charge of the Urim V'Tumim. He wasn't a Kohen, so he wasn't absolutely in charge of it. It just meant he came before them. That's what, according to that Gersim, he was advised before the Urim V'Tumim, but the crazy place is still refers to the Urim V'Tumim, not to Sanhedrin. Just it's the difference on what is crazy place. Okay. Rabbi Zera Amar, now we're back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So at this point, we sort of never satisfied with the story with what Moshe did. We did explain what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech no chatzos based on some miraculous thing that happened with his harp that woke him up at chatzos.
So we say it like this: Moshe Rabbeinu lo olam have a yada. Moshe Rabbeinu also could have known; he would have the same sort of system of David Melech had or the like. David Ami have a yada. They both knew. Given to David have a yada, kinor lamalei. So if he knew, then why did he need this harp? Okay, simple. You can know something, but it doesn't help if you're sleeping. So he would have some other symbol besides the harp. He knew, but still, it doesn't help because. He was sleeping. Given that Moshe have a yada, lama lay the memer kichatzos Moshe kichatzos? Question mark. Why did he say kichatzos around chatzos? He knew, according to Rabbi Zeir, according to this opinion. Says the Gemara, Moshe kasaver shemiyadu astigne. It's tagnine paro. The astrologers of Paro are going to make a mistake, and they're going to think that chatzos is a different time, and he's going to tell them to chatzos, and it's going to be a big chol shem. Vayomer Moshe v'dayhu, Moshe is a faker. A person always be careful to say, I don't know. Because this way, in case people are going to challenge him, and people are going to say, yeah, he's making things up, and Teuchas will be caught, and it's going to look really bad. So better, and even, that's if you don't know something. Even if you do know something, but you're afraid that people are going to think you're making it up, you should be careful. Better have another and say you don't know something, even if you do know it. This way, it doesn't look bad. Or to it was the 13th at night, and he was advised. He was telling him tomorrow night, the 14th at night, is going to be the Makis Bechoros, so it's a day in advance, he's telling him. And when was he talking to Paro? He was talking to him in the middle of the night. It was the middle of the night. It was to Israel, but it was also to Paro. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'machar kechatzos laila, ki'einani yozeh b'toch Mitzrayim. That he was saying, tomorrow, just like it's now, chatzos now, tomorrow night, ki chatzos, like the chatzos that's tonight, it'll be tomorrow the Makas Bechoros. Good. So we have three explanations of what was going on with David. Either he didn't know, that was what it sounded like in the beginning. The Gemara ends up rejecting that. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what chatzos was, presumably domet to David HaMelech, or he just had some symbol, it's obvious. Rather, either he wanted to avoid the Hasinei Paro making fun of him and saying that they got it wrong, or because he was telling them, just like tonight's chasos, to tomorrow's chasos. All right, now other pesukim about David Melech. L'David shamran afshi, ki chasin ani. So we have a pasuk in Tehillim that David's saying, look, mizmor l'David, there we have a song of David that, Hashem, you should protect my nefesh, because I'm a chasin. Levi Rabbi Yitzchak Hanamar Kachamar David Levnei Kosh Baruch Ribon Shalom Lo Chassid Ani. Am I not a Chassid? Am I not a pious? Shkol Malchem Mizrachem Marov. All the other kings of the world Yeshinu Ashol Shalos. They get up really late. They're up to 3 hours. Ani Chazos Laila Kol Mahodot Lach. Okay. Now, in terms of Gaiva, it's not just this pasuk. There are other pesukim. Marsha points out. It says Ki Chassid Ani. There are other pesukim that say Beferish. He praised himself. So it doesn't mean it's not a matter of Gaiva. It's a matter of he's aware of his status, and he's aware that he's done certain mitzvahs, and he's davening to Hashem Baruch Hu, Shamar Nafshi, because I've done certain things. Please protect me. Now, it brings up a different question. We don't usually daven based on our zechuyas, but it may not have been davening because of any particular thing. He's just davening to Hashem Baruch Hu. I've done certain mitzvahs, and I want to do more mitzvahs as I am a chassid now. I want to continue being a chassid, and please enable me to do that. Okay, we talk about this by Vidoy Meiser. Vidoy Meiser is also, we say, we praise ourselves. We talk about how I've done this and this and this and this. So please Hashem, either reward me for it. Usually that's its whole sugya. You're not supposed to daven for reward for your mitzvahs. But it could just be, I've done certain things, please enable me to continue. So that's one explanation of what David Melech was saying. This is saying that, look, I'm better than other kings. I'm a chassid because, look, the other kings are with their majesties and dynasties, everybody's being mechabi them, and they say with a lot of people around them with kavod, and I'm getting my hands dirty with blood and the feet, with the shvir vishilya. Shilya is the skin, the sac which the fetus lives in. The shvir is the afterbirth sac. The shvir is the skin of the fetus. The cilia is the sac. Okay, the skin and the sac And I want to know, basically, the Tariq of the Baila, to figure out if this was a miscarriage or this wasn't, didn't have a Surah of Avlad. It was within 40 days, or even if it was after 40 days, but sometimes there's no Surah, then a miscarriage is not the time of the woman at all. Today, we usually don't pass, and then we just do after 40, before and after 40 days. So it says in the Shach and others. But basically, the tremendous godless of this is that, and Rosh Hashanah says from the Rav, is that it's not beneath the covet of a rabbi or even a king of Israel to be involved in shaylos, and even if it means getting his hands dirty, it means we have to deal with the shaylos going to places and figuring things out, because that's what the Torah wants us to do. So there's nothing beneath anybody's dignity if it's to further answering a Torah question or something like that. And that's what whatever it says in the Marshal. Also, it says there's another pasuk that says an evyon v'ani. I am a poor person. So what is David Mel saying? He's a chassid, and also he's a poor person. He means he looked like sometimes he was poor in order to avoid Hashem. He wasn't actually poor, but he looked poor when he needed something. V'lo'od, elo komach ani oseh ani nemlach mimifi boshet, Rabbi. A different practice that he had was that was great of him was that he would make sure to double check in any shayla he had to Mifi Boshes. Mifi Boshes, the son of Shaul, but he was a Talmud Chacham. And he was a teacher, David, and he had a lot of anava that David Melch would check with his Rebbe, even though he was, you know, Royal Horos, he was his Rebbe on his own, he'd double check. Amar lomifi boshi Rabbi, yavu dandi, yavu chayavti, yavu zekiti, yavu tiarti, yavu timeti, yavu loboshti. Look, I made sure to check with him. Did I do right here? Did I write right there? This is a big lesson for any rabbi. Whenever he answers something, it's good to always check with somebody else to make sure that you're saying the right things. Prima Gano has a big tocha that people answer shaylos looking things up, because he says it's horror halacha b'vnei rabo, because we have so many svarim today. If you could look something in the sefer, how could you pass going down looking it up in the poskim? Okay, the minute you buy poskim, some poskim is not like that. Okay, Amar Rabbi Sarav Solovsky said that's not the minute of poskim, but you have to be very confident and double check. What does it mean that I would speak in front of the kings and I wouldn't be embarrassed? I would speak of your testimonies, your Torah, and I wouldn't be embarrassed. This is goes into other places in Shulchan Aruch and Sif, in the beginning, Shulchan Aruch Siman Aleph, that we shouldn't be embarrassed to do mitzvahs. Talking about Megabe Kari, or in the beginning, Shulchan Aruch talking about not being embarrassed to do mitzvahs. Tana Loma Viboshe Shemo, Ela Ish Boshe Shemo. First of all, this Mifi Boshet, maybe he's really Ish Boshet, the same person. He was the king after Shaul, a very short period of time. But the same person, Elam and Gershman Shmo Mifi Boshet. In Tanakh, they appear differently. So why are they telling like two different people? Why are they called the same person, just different name? Okay, Shai Mevayesh David Bahalacha. He was so great in Halacha, he Mevayesh David with Halacha. He would embarrass him and he answered the questions or challenging what David Amal said. That's what called Mifi Boshet. To play on the words, Mevayesh Pnei. The Vigil Zachar David, Yatu Mimena Kilav. But David Melch had such a nava, they continued to ask questions by Mifi Boshet, even if he'd be embarrassed, and sometimes get the wrong thing. And he had a son, Kilav. We'll see. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, who is Kilav? It could just be a separate person, but the Gemara here is associating with someone else. Lo Kil Shmo, Daniel Shmo was Daniel. Lo Lamanikar Shmo, Kilav, Shem Machlin Pnei, Mifi Boshet, Behalacha. Okay? This is, okay. I don't know if this is the same Daniel. I don't think it makes, I think very difficult to explain this is actually the same Daniel that's on the days of Nehemiah and Ezra, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And he worked for Daryavish, but he was a great person nonetheless. And Rashi tells you, Mishneo Kilav la'avigail, Eishan Elvel, Makomachar, Hasheni, Daniel. It just a bit of Rayam. So it was a different Daniel, not the Daniel that's like the book of Tanakh, but a different Daniel is also very great. But the point that Gemara is trying to get to is Kilav is not actually his name, it's a nickname. Why? What's the name? He would challenge and outdo the words of Mifi Boshet. That if you're wise, my son, then I'll be happy as well. And Chacham Bani Vesemach Libi, if you're wise, I'll be gladdened. Veshiva Chorfi Devar, those who are very sharp with me, those who answer up my points, I'll be able to answer them up with your tainas. Basically, the point here is it's a great anava to answer to ask questions by somebody else, and it's not embarrassing, right? That's what we say when we start davening. We daven before. It's also in brachas before we learn.
Sounds like the Pasha Pshat is that if a person makes a mistake, people are going to make fun of him. So we daven that that doesn't happen. Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah and others said that's not Pshat. And it sounds like that Rash, but that can't be Pshat. People don't, shouldn't be. It's not a terrible thing to make fun of someone. It just means that they shouldn't be Yismuchu v'Yichavrai when I get the right Pshat. It's two different phrases. I shouldn't make mistakes, and people should be happy when I get, make sure to save me from making mistakes in the first place. But either way, this is machamta shel Torah, that a person shouldn't be embarrassed to say something, even if he gets it right or he gets it wrong. That's a machamta shel Torah, and David HaMelech wasn't afraid of that. And that leads to, since he is such a novel, the fact that we basically, I mean, we don't have too many things from David HaMelech in the first place, but it says, halacha kedivrei David b'chol makom. We pass on like David, v'shem imo, it's later, that we pass on like David, anywhere he said anything, we pass on like David, because he was such a nonov. Same thing with Hillel, we pass on like him, and base Hillel. David mikar l'nafshe chasid. Did David Mel think he was really a chassid? But I thought he wasn't sure of himself. Unless I had a munah to know that I was going to see the tov Hashem, Be'eretz Chaim, well, then if I didn't have a munah in that, then I might not be zochet olam hava tanimish made to Rabbi Yosef. What does this pasuk mean? Lamina kodah lulei. If not for the fact that there's dots on top of that word lulei to teach you the following, this is what David Mel meant. Amr David, Levnei Kosh Baruch Hu, Rebbe Shol, Mevtachani, Becha, Shatam, Beshalim, Schar, L'Sadikim, V'Ati, Lavo. You give reward to the Sadikim. Ava, Eni Adayim, Yesh, Chachelik, Bineim, Im Lav. I don't know if I'm among them or not. Shem Yigro Mochet, Ked Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Idi, De Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Idi, Ram, okay, one second. Shem Yigro Mochet is the reason that he was worried. This is the answer to the question. We said he was a chassan and it wasn't Kaiva. He just knew this where he was holding, and that's why he was able to daven with certain confidence. He was a chassan. A question, why was he saying, I have to have so much amunah that you'll get me into Olam Haba? But he was thinking that maybe he sinned because of the story with Bachem and other sins. So he's always afraid, many psukim in Tehillim that reflect this tremendous amount of tshuva he does, and he's always afraid of his sins. So why was he worried he's not going to get to Olam Haba? He said he was a chassid. The answer is, yes, he was a chassid at one point, and he was afraid he sinned, and maybe he's going to lose Olam Haba. And where else do we see Shemi Yigro Mochet, even though he was at one point a chassid, and maybe he was zochen Olam Haba, you can lose it. Rabbi Yaakov Reidi said in a different context, Yaakov Reidi, Rami Ksiv, Hinei Anochi Imach, by Yaakov Avinu, that Hashem promised him, I'll be with you, v'shmarticho b'chosh adilich. When it was Vayitze, the beginning of his journey, Hashem said to him, don't worry, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Yaakov was really afraid by when Vayishav. Why was he really afraid? He was down again to Kash Baruch Hu to protect him from Vayishav. Why is he afraid? Hashem said, I'll be with you. Amar, Shem Yigro Mochet. Then Hashem, he said, maybe I sinned by Chalavan's house or other place I've sinned. And therefore, I was afraid that I was not going to be protected. Because Tanya, Adivar Amcha, and I, Adivar Amzakanita, Adivar Amcha, Hashem, Zu be Rishona, Adivar Amzakanita, Zu be Ishnia. This pasuk in the Ashir is to tell you there are two times I'm going to want to Eretz Yisrael, one time in the May Yeshua, and one time in the May Ezra. And they should have been compared. Mikanam Ruchamim Ruim, Hayu Yisrael, Asalahem, Nes, be May Ezra. It should have been incredible fanfare and miracles, amazing stuff going into Eretz Yisrael the second time when we had in the days of Ezra, Kedarshan, Asalahem, be May Yeshua, Ben Nun, Asher Amachet. However, we sinned, not everybody came up, and it wasn't. It wasn't proper the way that there were things that we had. There was intermarriage in the days of Ezra, and that's why we weren't able to successful in conquering Arizona in the days of Ezra nearly as well in the days as we did in the days of Yeshua. So you see this concept, Zubi Rishon and Zubi Yishni is referring to the first conquest and second conquest of Arizona. They were supposed to be identical, and they weren't because of the fact that we sinned. And this just leads to a big discussion. The Marsha brings it up, but it's in the Rambam, in many places, in the Pirshanai and other places, that when there's a promise by a Navi for something, is that always irrevocable when there's a promise? Hashem made a promise that there'll be something good. Does that mean it can't be taken back? So first of all, he says there's an issue in good and bad. Bad nevuahs, gezeros, could be taken back with tshuva. That's always the case. There's sometimes seem to be exceptions by gezeros that are written b'dam or whatever, written certain very serious gezeros about the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. When Yechezkel's davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's too late, stop davening. And other, and Yirmiyahu also davened a Beis Medrash. So it seems like different Nevi'im, different points. Certain tefillahs maybe not be able to break Ben Nevi'os, but basically, generally, Ben Nevi'os could be undone. With Yonah, we see that with Nineveh.
However, with good nevuos, generally they can't be undone. Our Gemara says they could be undone. So he says maybe there's a difference between individual and a tzibur. Okay, what about Ayavor Abcha? Hashem has Ayavor Abcha Kanita? Yeah, that wasn't a very mefurish thing. Anything that was really mefurish, Anochi Yimach, I'll be with you. And now he's worried that Hashem's not with him. Okay, something that's really not so mefurish, that could be reinterpreted, could be understood differently. Hashem will mekayim it in a different way. Hashem will help them conquest Israel, just not with as many miracles as it was the first time. Okay, it's a very important discussion about how can nevuah sort of change, how can it be Hashem knew the future, and how could it, without, you know, whatever, Bechira, all those important questions. And there's a maral about this, it's different between the Nevi'im, who got it, or whether it was a Chalom, there's other things, other explanations to this. I think I'm going to continue for a few more minutes. If you want to go to the 7:50 minute, you certainly can, starting probably now. I think I'll do another 5-10 minutes, and try to get to at least in the middle of the next Amud. Okay. Chachamim Omri Mechatzos, Chachamim Kamatzri Lehu. So, who did the Chachamim in our Mishnah say, you're supposed to say Shema until Chatzos, who do they follow? In terms of the major question, does it go by when people are going to sleep, or goes by the entire night while people are sleeping? Do they follow, of the first two opinions, who do they follow? And then it's going to play itself out. And what's their major opinion by when you say Krishna? Ik Rabbi Eliezer, if they followed Rabbi Eliezer, Lamech Rabbi Eliezer, if they followed Rabbi Eliezer, that it's only up to the first third, they should say up to the first third. And that's when people are going to sleep. Ik Rabbi Eliezer, Lamech Rabbi Eliezer, that if you think it's while people are sleeping, that's what Rashi says. The machlokas here, we're still asking a fundamental question. What it means, b'shopecha, does it mean when people are going to sleep, which is the first third of the night, or as long as people are sleeping? So until chatzos, people are sleeping. That's what the Gemara at this point is assuming. So how can you pass the say until the morning? Now, some people do sleep until the morning, but maybe what it meant, when people are sleeping, means when everybody's sleeping. When it's normal for, I don't know, Ruba to Ruba, the whole, everybody's sleeping. But there are people that get up before Alos HaShachar, as we just talked about David, and other people can also get up before Alos HaShachar. In the days of Nechemiah, they were working from Alos. So some people would definitely, the workers would get up before Alos. So maybe that's the Pshan Ram Gomliel. So how could Rabbanan say, and you're allowed to say Shema until the morning, if we should go by Rove? The Ramban and the Mechamos talks about here, generally speaking, whenever you have something in the Torah, we go by Rov and Adam. When you want to figure out Hagdara of something, you should go by Rov and Adam. So that's why I would have assumed it's when Rov and Adam were sleeping, maybe by Alos. It was not Rov and Adam. In the government here, they talk about it. It was common for people to work from Alos until Seis Gochavim. If you hire a worker, stop, you know, clarify, it's from Alos. That's not the assumption today. Says the Gemara, really, he follows Rav Gamliel's concept. Okay, really what happened is that they both agree fundamentally it's as long as the people are sleeping. And there's no difference between chatzos and until alos. And some people, there's probably even a majority of people, there's still some people that are sleeping until the morning, and that's why it's fine to say you can take Krishna until the morning. And in fact, we follow Rabbi Yeshua, the opinion they could do it until 3 hours after alos can take Krishna. Oh, sorry. We'll talk about that actually, sorry. That's by Krishna and Shashachris. We'll talk about it, something else. We say you can stay until Alos, because some people are still going, still some people are sleeping until that time. And the Ramban says basically we don't go by Rov and Adam when it comes to Krishma. The language of the pasuk is written biyachid, b'shopcha uvkumecha is written biyachid. So we follow even if some yachidim are still sleeping until Alos, it's okay to say Krishma until that point. Anyway,
the Mishnah already said this reason.
Yes.
Why does the Gemara need to say it again?
So good question. What was the Havamina? You could say, excellent question. I don't know if Rashi addresses that. Let me recur on the Leo. So it could be they would have said that it's two different statements, right? It is two statements made in the Mishnah. First it said, Chacham say Chatzos, then Rav Gamliel says Alo Shachar. And then we hear about Kedei Harachachan Vadavira as a result of when Rav Gamliel's arguing to telling his children when they came back from the party, they should say Shema. Don't worry, because what the Chachamim said until Chatzos was only Harchak Adam and Avir. It could be that you could have thought this is not the Maskana. The Maskana is what we just said. You could have thought that he's just telling them a further proof. I think the Rabbeinu Yonah says something like this: that even Chachamim are only just a big zera. But my opinion is until Alos, and Chachamim they say until Chatzos. But even Chachamim should agree with me, because Chachamim say that it goes not just till Chatzos, they're just making a harchaka, it should go after Chatzos until later. However, Chachamim responded, this was Rabbi Gamliel speaking.
Rabbi Gamliel wanted everybody in the world to agree with his opinion. He held it in the morning. He said, even Chum really agree with it. Made up a Chumra to say they can, you can't do it to Chatzos. You only can do it to Chatzos. Maybe Chum would respond back, that whole thing is wrong. We argue on a derisa level. So we don't know what Chum would respond. Now, it's true. Once you get to the Maskan Rav Gemara, the Gemara quotes a brayso. It says Chachamim also said that it was a Lahar Gadam Avir. It wasn't just Rav Gamliel speaking. There's a machlokes, the Rishonim and the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, whether or not when they Chum said this Lahar Gadam Avir, when they said it was Chatzos, was that a hard and fast rule, or meaning if you did you have a doom at that time, is it worthless to Hassan or it's still worthwhile? The Rabbeinu Yonah says there's no more mitzvah altogether, and we follow the Rambam that there still is bidyev and mitzvah in the answer Chatzos. So why did they make this siyug? This way, a person can come home at night from work. I will go to my house, eat a little bit, drink a little bit, and go to sleep a little bit. I'll take a little nap because I'm really tired. And then I'll say Krishna afterward. And then what happens? He gets tired and then he falls asleep. And then Nimsa Yashin Kolad. By the time he's sleeping on the couch or whatever, he's not going to be able to get up in the middle of the night to say Krishna. He's going to be too tired. So he's going to miss the entire mitzvah altogether. Therefore, they said that the person should be careful not to do that. What should they do? They should come home from at night. Immediately they should go to the shul. If he can say psukim to learn chumash, he should learn psukim. If he can learn mishnayos or gemara, he should do that. And then he should be korah krishma. And then say shema v'mepal v'ocho pita v'varach. And then he could eat his meal and make brachas. Great. We call over a different chum chayim misa. Very serious line, and that's what we're saying over here. That is chayim misa. We say ma'ish namachol dochi lo ketan chayim misa. How come we don't talk about that anywhere else? Anytime we say there's a dirim derabanan chayim misa, it could be based on a pasuk. Mishnah is very famous for its getter yeshchan and nachash. That you know, if a person breaks one of the rules of the chachamim, it's really bad. So why over here are we talking about it? We're emphasizing the point over here because we want everybody to know that it's very common, it's easy to fall asleep. And therefore, a person could fall asleep and miss the minyan or miss the davening altogether. So therefore, you should be very careful and make sure not to get involved with this. Or perhaps you want to make the point because we know there's an opinion that says arv is not so critical, it's because it's only rishus. Therefore, we want to emphasize the point that it's a chova and they should make sure to get up. When you say chayim misa, it doesn't mean chayim misa 100% chayim misa b'day adam, certainly not, and even chayim misa b'day shemaim, it's not so clear that pashut. It could be the tashbis in many places. The chazal were maflik, but whatever they would overemphasize a point to show how uncritical it is. It doesn't mean it's not critical, it's a very important thing. Chayim misa, could be it's an exaggeration, it could be it's literal in chazal's eyes. And it would be like chayim misa b'day shemaim, it would be something like that. Either way, this is definitely important idea, concept, that a person should try to not delay saying the Krishna and the like. Yeah, the meaning is we're very makel, there's lots of stories, lakan, to have meals. We have dinner before people down in Marv, there's 10 o'clock Marv and the like, and other things. So that's based on whatever, it's Gemara and Shabbos daf test that you're not supposed to have a meal before any davening. Shachar is the most makbid, but Mincha too. So the first thing is you can have anything that's not considered kibetza of bread or more. You can have other things, snacks, and just meat and potatoes and other things. And second is Ramosha, and this is probably the minig, is as long as you have a minyan kavua that you try to go to, so then there's no problem with eating before a minyan, because we're not afraid you're going to forget. You usually have a minyan, you're usually going to go to that minyan as well. It's only if the guy dies with yichid, as always, so you shouldn't have the meal before then. And still then, you have that other rule that it's only up to kibetza bread. Rishetir tries to tell people that he's makbid on this, like, doesn't want to rely on either of that Ramosha kula. I mean, the kula with the kibetz of bread is in Shulchan Aruch. He's not so much against that, but he says, like, having a normal established meal is already similar to kibetz of bread. Some posts can do it, in fact, say. Okay, but there's definitely what to rely on to have the dinner before the meal. And then before a Krishma. But this concept is, we're going to make an emphasis to make sure not to miss Mar just because he's so tired. Amar Mar, Kor Krishma Mepalol. We said in the following braisa that Shema it goes before davening. Mesayel Rabbi Yochanan, Nam Rabbi Yochanan, Israel bin Olam Haba, Zeh Samagul Tfila Shalarbis. That there's a connection between Tfila and Shema and Tfila. And that's what the Brisa was emphasizing, and that's what we call Sava Gula Tefillah. First, we talk about Gula in Shema, that we say, Baruch Hashem Gali. So we talked about Hashem taking time in the sermon, the third package of Esrei, and the third and fourth of the Baruch Spirit Shema. Elaborate upon that theme, the Abu Raham, the Rash, but they say that the three Brachas Krishma and Vashachris just elaborate on the three themes of the paragraphs of Shema. And the third one is connected to the third one, and by Mar, the fourth one just elaborates on the third one. And that's Geula, Gal Yisrael, and that goes right into Shemona Esrei. Rabbi Yishuv and Levi Mar Tevila, Keneg, Be'emsa Tikno, they put Tevila in between Shema's, B'maikim Mifilgi, Ibaidim Akra, Ibaidim Asvara. So there are two ways to explain what their machlokas is. Rabbi Yochanan says, he thinks that maybe Geula happened at night, so therefore it makes sense to have Soma Geula Tefila even at night. In other words, there was Geula at night, we were saved from Mitzrayim at night, the beginning of the redemption began at night, so there's Geula at night, and then we talk about Shemona Esrei immediately after. We'll tell you the Svara in a moment, but that's the idea of Rabbi Yochanan. There's Geula at night as well. There was a gula at night. The full gula only happened in the morning. So it's gula, some of gula tefillah by morning, but it's also true at night as well. Rabbi Shimon Levi Saver, no, it's only in the morning. Given to lahavi al misaver, lahavi gula ma'al yata. We weren't fully redeemed. We didn't leave Egypt until etamim was in the middle of the day, not by night. Even though the Makkah before happened at night. And therefore, there's no gula by night. Therefore, it's not critical to have to be put the two together. You could say Shema Esrei and then Shema after. We set it up Shema and then Shema Esrei by night. We do like Rabbi Yochanan and Lizla Chachila. It also talks about a lot of other gulas. Yeah, there's the Ikar Din is there's what we make, but we always try to do that. Iba Demakra, their argument, that we compare when you get up and when you go to sleep. Rabbi Yochanan Makash Shriva Lakima Makima Kareshma Tvila, Afshriva Nama Kareshma Bagatvila. That just like when you wake up in the morning, obviously you have to do Shema and Shema Esrei because of Gula Tefillah was a nace in the morning by Mitzrayim. Rabbi Shimon Levi we want to compare just like getting up from your sleep in the morning, you say Shema first, the first thing, and then you're going to say Shema Esrei. So too, when you go to sleep, the opposite direction. First you're going to say Shema Esrei, then you say Krishma. Okay, we'll deal with that more tomorrow. The Rashi Svara for Gusama Gula Tefila is that it thematically makes a lot of sense. If you knock on, he's a marshal from Yerushalmi, when you knock on the door of the king, and then he answers, you shouldn't then run away. If the, and then king comes to a terrible embarrassment. So how can you say, Gula, Hashem, you made so many miracles for us, and now I'm going to ask for certain things. I'm asking my Srachim after he came to the door, how can I run away? But Ben Yonah says they're both ideas of Emunah that we have.